It's time for the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. In an era of chaos, confusion, and craziness, Ference is a voice for common sense. As a financial literacy educator, speaker, and entrepreneur, Ference cuts through the noise to help us understand how current events affect our money, economy, and our freedom. Now, here's Ference Toth.
Welcome to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. I've had a few days to think about the election, and one of my first thoughts is this. I've rarely been more proud of the American people than I am right now. The majority of Americans agreed that this country was headed in the wrong direction, and they did something about it. We came together and did something about it. The response to 9/11 comes to mind of another time where Americans came together, and I felt proud of my fellow Americans. I feel like that right now. And regardless of how you feel about Trump, we have experienced the most incredible comeback in political history. Many thought he was finished after losing the 2020 election and his response to January 6th. There's never been a president or a candidate attacked more than Trump. Media attacks, smears, impeached twice, indicted, two assassination attempts, yet he kept fighting. You have to respect that. Trump is one of the most determined and tenacious people ever. He was attacked repeatedly, yet he just kept going. And character is revealed under pressure. When Trump was shot, he stood up and yelled, "Fight, fight, fight." That's one of the most inspirational actions ever. I think most of us would like to think we would respond similarly to being attacked or shot like that. But in reality, it's impossible to know until that happens. It's not something you get a chance to think about. It just reveals what's inside of you, what type of character you have. And is that the kind of person you want to have leading this country as our president or representing us? Majority agreed. And in contrast, Kamala Harris did not even speak to her supporters when it appeared like she was going to lose. In fact, she did not speak until the next day. I'm sorry, but that's the character of a weak person. And I'm very glad that she will not be the president of the United States. And I say that not because of she's a woman or the color of her skin or anything else for that matter. I say that because of her character or lack thereof. Again, character comes out in times of crisis under pressure. And America is great because Americans are amazing. You see, I'm blessed to interact with Americans across the country every day. This show is aired coast to coast. And the thing is, I find most of the people I talk to who reach out to me are not average. In fact, most people I deal with are decent, hardworking, and sincere people. And frankly, they deserve better representation. Thankfully, they're going to start to see some of that soon. See, it wasn't just Trump that was running. He assembled what many are calling a dream team. I'm a big history fan, and I think back to previous administrations throughout history of our country. And there's only two other times I can think of where a president assembled a team as strong as Trump has. Of course, our first president, George Washington, had Thomas Jefferson in his cabinet, among many other very impressive and intelligent people. Another president was Lincoln. He was famous for having what he called a team of rivals. He didn't just want yes men, he wanted to have the best. And I see that happening with Trump. When you have an Elon Musk joining your team, one of the most brilliant entrepreneurs and the world's richest man, who's going to run your efficiency, government efficiency department, for free, by the way. That's truly amazing. You have a RFK. I doubt that there's anybody that knows more about the food industry, big ag, big pharma, than RFK. And he's going to be put in charge of getting to the bottom of and dismantling the establishment that's been put in place to cause our country to be the sickest and most unhealthy in the world by far. J.D. Vance. Many people at first were against the idea, but he's more than proven himself as being a brilliant guy and truly an American success story. He's a guy that defines and embodies the American dream. He came from a tremendously difficult background, having a mother that was addicted, raised by his grandmother, came from one of the poorest counties in the United States, joined the Marines. Folks, I was in the Army. Being in the Marines is not easy. Became successful in business as a venture capitalist, and no one can argue that guy's not brilliant. And as Trump said himself, he sent him into the enemy camp, the mainstream media, the places that were absolutely strongly against, and he just decimated the interviewers in an impressive way, but not in an offensive way. He ran circles around many of the interviewers that he went on. It was truly impressive. You have Vivek, another successful businessman and first-generation American, who's going to be part of the administration as a young and very impressive up-and-comer who has tremendous ideas and is one of the most phenomenal communicators we've ever seen. Tulsi Gabbard, she ran for president as a Democrat not long ago, destroyed Kamala Harris in a primary, a very strong and intelligent woman herself, in the reserves. I understand she's had three tours overseas, an impressive individual herself, getting involved on the Trump team. It wasn't just about Trump, it was about his team and the roughly 5,000 people that'll be appointed. Who's going to run all the different departments of the federal government? I'm truly excited about the future of our country. Now, they're not in charge yet. Won't be until January. So we got a few months, and problems are not going to right themselves or resolve themselves overnight. We're not out of the woods yet. But I am excited about the future. Excess spending was rejected. Open borders were rejected. Socialism was rejected. Legacy media was rejected. And I find it interesting that those that are unhappy about Trump winning include China, Iran, the Taliban, cartels, human smugglers, drug traffickers, illegal immigrants, warmongers, defense contractors, bureaucrats, the legacy media, never Trumpers, Democrats and liberals. There's others. And those that are happy about Trump winning are people who want peace and prosperity. You know, just like in the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which, by the way, is the majority of Americans. Which side are you on? Now, on this show, I've shared my concerns about government policies, the current administration, and what I thought our government and representatives should be focused on long before it was popular or acceptable. I was censored. I was attacked by some. I lost more than one radio affiliate and multiple potential clients. I attacked the government small business COVID shutdowns in March of 2021. If you don't believe me, you can go to yourpersonalbank.com and listen to any of the previously recorded show. Those shows are still on the website. I understood that I would lose business due to my positions, but I strongly believe that stating the truth was more important. This is a financially focused show, and I'm in the financial business. But some things are more important than money, and I will not compromise the truth, whether it's a government policy or whether I'm working with a client. Many thought my positions were political. I didn't consider them political. I just considered them common sense. And unfortunately, common sense had not been very common lately. Now, Trump won the election. He won the popular vote. The Republicans took back the Senate, and it looks like they're going to retain the House. He has a majority and a mandate. Trump has promised significant changes. How will those affect our country, our economy, and our money? That's going to be the focus of the remainder of our show. So I'm going to encourage you to stay tuned in the next segments. But before we go there, again, I want to say, to my fellow Americans, at least the majority of you, I couldn't be more proud that you ignored the noise and you did what was right. You recognized the direction the country was headed. You did not like it, and you did something about it. And that's the beauty of a representative republic. We have the right to vote. We exercise those rights. And I firmly believed that we, as a country, dodged a major bullet. I was truly concerned about what this country, our society, our way of life, the economy, all of it, was going to look like 4 years from now if Trump had not won this election. The direction that we were headed, the policies that were in place, the likelihood of it getting much worse. I don't know if we would have recognized our country for 4 years from now. But thankfully, we don't have to worry about that at this point. I believe this is the beginning of a renaissance of freedom, prosperity, and peace for our country. So whether you voted for Trump or not, you're going to benefit from all of this, whether you realize it or not, and I could not be more excited. A few last thoughts about the election before I get into what I think we should expect, what's going to be likely. As much good news as we have had, unfortunately, my home state is being very disappointing of Arizona. They are counting the election results extraordinarily slowly, which invites the potential for fraud. It denigrates election integrity, and it's just a bad look all around. Arizona needs to get their act together. In fact, I looked this up. Do you realize that every single election that we have had in this country since 1789 has had the same day results? Now, except for, some would say 2000, we did have same day results. It was eventually settled by the court, but the official tally was available within 24 hours. The only other time, 2020, where it took a full week for us to get the final results, which was beyond ridiculous. In 2024, how long is it going to be? Who knows? There's no excuse for this. Nearly every other country in the world gets same-day results. And if they could get same-day results in the 1700s, in the 18 and 1900s, there's, with better technology and everything else that's going on, there is absolutely no reason why they cannot get same-day results. There's only two possible reasons why it's taking so long to count. One is extreme incompetence or fraud. Both are bad and need to be eliminated. Stay tuned in the next segment. I will be sharing how some of Trump's policies will likely affect our economy and our money. Economic freedom is freedom, and our freedoms are under attack. I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. In this time of uncertainty, can you grow your money safely, reduce taxes, and ensure you don't run out of money in retirement? Your Personal Bank earns dividends with guarantees, insured and tax-free. For more info, tune in to the Your Personal Bank Show or contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. If you want to reach me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. And yes, you'll reach me. It's yourpersonalbank.com. I want to share a couple final thoughts regarding the election before I get into the Trump policies and how they'll likely affect our economy and our money. I saw a map of the election results by county. If you haven't seen this, I highly encourage you to go online and look it up. It's quite easy to find. It's nearly an entire red map with a few blue splotches intermittently. But I like the comment I saw somebody make under the map, and it said, Trump, better coverage than Verizon. I thought that was quite funny, and it does look better than if you ever seen one of those coverage maps of the United States. And lastly, I would be remiss if I didn't point out that God has given America a reprieve. We've been given another opportunity to improve conditions in this nation. And if you look at Daniel 2:20 through 22, it states, "Praise be the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others." I thought that was a very interesting statement. "He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells within Him." Folks, now it's time to roll up our sleeves and get to work. Trump has a mandate. to change things for the better. It's time to do it. Now what? What should we expect? What's likely to happen to our country, to our economy, to our money, those types of things? In the short term, first of all, the first thing that happened was the Dow soared over 1,500 points to record the best day in over 2 years. The stock market, with many of the major benchmarks hitting record highs, is expecting a better economic future because they see, this market sees Trump as supporting lower corporate tax rates, deregulation, and industrial policies that favor domestic growth. All of those things would provide stimulus to the U.S. economy. Many of the markets expect a similar trend to play out, and many are predicting the U.S. economy to really start to take off thanks to a Trump win. Now, it's not all roses yet, because as Reuters pointed out, if Trump enacts some of his, even partial of his pledges, higher trade tariffs, more oil drilling, more demands on the NATO partners, they're stating the strain on government finances, inflation, economic growth, and interest rates will be felt in every corner of the world. That's likely true, but I think part of what they're missing here, as they're stating their Trump's fiscal pledges are somewhat troubling for the global financial markets, but it certainly overall would be beneficial to the U.S. economy, particularly if you add in reduced government spending, which is one of the big problems, and as they're stating, increased costs of production. Much of that can be offset by bringing that production home and increased economic activity. It's not just a zero-sum gain. There'll be changes in the world economy, certainly, but I think overall we'll see more benefits in the U.S. economy than maybe the world economy, which is, again, sort of the thought process of Trump, America first. And that's why you also see the U.S. dollar getting stronger now. Now, as I stated in the first segment, I'm very hopeful now and upbeat about the future direction that the country will be headed soon. But we're not out of the woods yet. And if I even use a historical example, when Reagan took over from Carter, we had record inflation, a lot of economic problems at that time. If you go back and look, it took a couple years for things to get settled out. It didn't happen overnight. So even if Trump enacts many of these policies going forward, understand some will take effect quite quickly. Others certainly will take more time for their effect to be felt. What are some of those changes? Well, Trump has been famous for stating, drill, baby, drill. Now, this is important and probably one of the most immediate changes that we'll see because energy prices affect nearly every product we purchase. Higher energy costs increase prices and inflation. And I've used this example before, but let's just take a loaf of bread, for example. It takes fuel in the tractor to plow the field and more fuel for that tractor to then plant the wheat. The tractor then later has to harvest the wheat, more fuel. Typically, a truck will then take that wheat to a grain elevator, or often a train will ship that grain to a flour mill. The flour will then get shipped, typically by truck, to a bakery. And then it gets trucked to a warehouse, then a grocery store, where you get in your car more fuel to pick up that loaf of bread and then bring it home. That single loaf of bread has taken 7 or 8 or 9 trips from planting to the final destination in your home. And each of those trips, if the cost of energy, the cost of that fuel is higher, it's going to increase the cost of that loaf of bread. Now apply that to every product you purchase. If it's been transported or the component parts have been transported 3, 4, 5, 10 times even, you can see where a small increase in energy can have an accelerated or exponential effect. Now, increased production will lower energy prices. Lower energy prices will reduce inflation. It'll reduce the costs of goods. This can happen quite quickly because energy prices tend to anticipate supply demands several months ahead. So if the energy industry believes that Trump will enact policies that will encourage drilling, which I believe I'm certain everyone believes that at this point, we should start seeing lower energy prices in the very near future. His other policy that's gained a lot of attention is deporting illegal immigrants. It's estimated that the total cost to transport, feed, house, and support illegal immigrants approaches $500 billion annually, a half a trillion. Now, this money comes from taxpayers and government money printing. Both are inflationary. The government money spent on illegal aliens, by the way, it's not government money, it's taxpayer money, or money that the government has printed, because remember, the government has no money. Where do they get it from? The taxpayers, or they print more, which again, both are inflationary. This money is being given to illegal immigrants, which are then competing for resources like food, clothing, housing, and pretty much everything we purchase. This increases the costs of everything, which of course is inflationary. Now, those costs with the Trump administration will stop immediately. Deporting the illegal immigrants will also reduce housing demand. It's well known that the U.S. has a housing shortage. And allowing millions of people in the country, when you have a housing shortage, drives up the cost of housing. It's basic economics 101. I mean, these people have to live somewhere. Fewer people will reduce housing demand. Housing costs will likely decrease, especially in lower cost and starter homes. The effects will be regional. The prices will drop in places more where there are more illegals. And think about Springfield, Ohio. Famously, the government moved in about 30,000 Haitians into a town of about 50,000 to 60,000. Now, that would be devastating to any community. They don't have the services to support that kind of influx. Also, housing costs would skyrocket, and they did. There'd be a shortage of housing because of all the new people. Well, what's going to happen if the Haitians are returned to Haiti? There's going to be thousands of empty homes and apartments. Prices are going to drop. Again, this will be on a regional basis. It'll impact some areas more than others. One of the other issues that's not going to need to be resolved regarding housing is the average age of U.S. home buyers has now jumped to 56 because, as CNBC states, homes are wildly unaffordable for young people. The average age of home buyers is now up 7 years from just 2023 and is at an all-time high. This is just another sign that younger Americans are being priced out of the market due to escalating ownership costs. Lack of supply has often been touted as one of the main reasons why housing is so expensive. And as I've just stated, deporting millions of illegals will partially help alleviate the lack of housing supply. Trump's plan for housing focuses on increasing that supply. Clearly, that will drive down home ownership costs. The proposals include freeing up some federal lands for building, easing regulations, and offering tax incentives to first-time home buyers. Easing regulations might be one of the easiest and quickest ways to reduce the cost of housing. I've seen multiple studies from home builders stating that the average costs, the regulatory cost to build a new home for the average home, that is, approach $100,000. So if the average home is a little over $400,000 today, and you could just cut the regulatory costs in half, you've cut about $50,000 off the cost of new home building. That would be a significant and very immediate effect to help drive down the cost of homes, especially for lower and middle income Americans. This is Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. My show focuses on creating tax-free buckets of money, insured, guaranteed, highly liquid, and the ability to create positive arbitrage. Did you know this is the best time in over 40 years to invest in index annuities? An index annuity allows you to 1. Grow your money safely without market risk. Once gains are locked in, they're guaranteed against future market loss. 2. Double-digit potential upside on good market years with no losses in bad years. Principal is guaranteed. 3. A 7-8% fixed interest option is available in the first year. If you're interested in growing your money with potential index-related gains without downside market risk, this is the best time in over 40 years to consider an annuity. If your annuity is over 2 years old, the newer products likely have far superior potential returns. Please contact me at yourpersonalbank.com or 866-268-4422 for more info. That's yourpersonalbank.com.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ferenc Toth. Want more information? Contact Ferenc at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ferenc Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ferenc. If you want to reach me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. Yes, you will reach me, yourpersonalbank.com. So we've been discussing what some of the Trump policies will likely do to our economy, our money, and how we can navigate this better. Knowing what to expect or what likely to expect will help you make better financial decisions. We discussed how Trump's policy of drill, baby, drill and deporting the illegal aliens are likely going to affect our economy, inflation, housing. If you missed it, go to yourpersonalbank.com. You can listen to this or any of the previously recorded shows. Each has its own topic. You can listen to anything that interests you. Now, another one of Trump's policies is, he has stated, is stopping endless wars. Hamas has already expressed their desire for peace. Apparently so have the Houthis. Putin has expressed his willingness to negotiate with Trump before he's even in office. Trump famously is the only president in my lifetime who never started any new wars. He's unlikely to do so in the future. You see, the U.S. government spends far more than any other country on defense spending. Now, look, I'm in favor of a strong military. Most Americans are against war unless absolutely necessary to defend ourselves or interests that are vital for our national security. Mine and many others' critiques about the wars in the Middle East, Ukraine, elsewhere, have been because we really are questioning what is the vital interest to the United States. Why do we need to be involved? Why do we need to spend our blood and treasure? And see, excess spending is inflationary, no matter what it is. Wars happen to be very expensive. Defense contractors make tons of money in war supplying war materials. Nearly everyone loses in war, either in blood or money, except for defense contractors. Less spending would reduce inflation. Now, one of my favorite policies that I'm looking forward to is the Department of Government Efficiency, which is going to be headed by Elon Musk. Here we have the world's richest man, undoubtedly a brilliant person. In fact, one of my clients worked with him, was one of the original group of engineers at Tesla. And he shared a little story with me after I asked him, what is it like to work? What is Elon like? And he said, oh man, he said it was the toughest job he ever had, most challenging, yet the most rewarding. And he shared a story where they had about 20 engineers in the room and they were having a challenge regarding battery capacity. And all of these engineers, some of the best engineers in the country, he'd assembled a tremendous team, were really struggling with this problem and had been for months. And Elon was really on them about why they couldn't overcome this challenge. And many of them were sharing, well, Elon, it's impossible. It can't be done. What you want is, we've tried everything. It can't be done. And he said, at that point, Elon got up in front of the room, took a marker written on the board, wrote some diagrams out and said, have you tried this? And he said, everyone in the room was dumbfounded because no one had thought about that. And they all looked at each other and said, how did you come up with that? And it turned out that was the solution. There's no question Elon Musk is a genius. There's no question he's been effective running businesses efficiently. Look what he did with Twitter. He reduced the staff by something like 80%, yet the company kept running and kept running much more efficiently. I've heard him recently state that he believes he can reduce government spending by $2 trillion annually. That would be tremendous. Let's put this in perspective for a minute. In 2024, the U.S. government spent $6.75 trillion. Revenues were about $4.9 trillion, which means the government spent about $1.85 trillion more than it received. That's called deficit spending. In other words, they printed it, they borrowed it, and spent it, and that's inflationary. Well, if Elon Musk indeed reduces government spending by $2 trillion, that'll bring spending down to levels below revenues, which means deficit spending will disappear. We have a record amount of debt that continues to increase at tremendous levels, and it needs to be stopped. Elon believes he can do it. In fact, I heard him recently even say, somebody was asking him how he can do it, and he said he was looking into it, and he said, because there's such a tremendous amount of waste in the federal government, he believes not only that it can be done, but it would be extraordinarily easy to do. He said something to the effect that he believes will be one of the easiest things he's ever done. I believe him. The other side benefit of reducing all this excess spending, which would reduce inflation, is it also would reduce the size of government. He's discussed bringing government employees down dramatically, reducing red tape, regulations, the bureaucracy. These are things that Trump did in his first term. He's promised to do that again. And many economists have shared that part of the reason why the economy was so strong in Trump's first term was the amount of regulations or red tape that they cut, because the cost of doing business had decreased even more. The benefits of the reduced regulation was even more than the tax cuts, the reduction in the capital gains tax for business. And I use a personal example of an annuity product that I have sold for over 25 years. The same product, the same company, it's still available today. Now, there's better products today, but this product is still available. And I can tell you, early in my career, the application was a two-page legal-sized document. It was actually one page. It was all printed front and back. That was the entire application. Today, that same application for that same product, depending on whether it's an IRA or not, is between 55 and 70 pages. Same product, folks, same company, same everything. Now you apply that to millions and millions of transactions, business transactions across the country, and you are talking about billions of dollars of waste, of time, money wasted through, frankly, many unnecessary regulations. This is another reason why I believe we will see a economic renaissance, if you will, in the U.S. economy. With lower energy prices and less government spending, the two primary causes of inflation will be removed. Inflation was historically low in Trump's first term, will likely return to something similar in his second term. This will be a tremendous benefit, particularly to those in lower and middle class. Cost of goods and everything that they buy will stop increasing. With the reduction of costs of energy and such, we might even see some decreases in costs if we have less illegal immigrants competing for food and housing. We'll likely see lower prices in those areas, some areas more regional than others, as I stated before. Inflation will likely disappear for the most part. That will then allow the Federal Reserve to continue to reduce interest rates, because their primary tool to battle inflation is higher interest. And just recently, the Federal Reserve did reduce interest rates another quarter point and are projected to do so again in December. Now, all of these things bode well for the economy, for the stock market. Again, real estate prices in some areas will probably go down, especially in the, you know, the lower or mid-income, mid-size homes because less demand. But overall, it should be something beneficial for most Americans. Now, the bond markets are predicted to be something different. They're predicted to continue to stay strong. And the primary reason behind that is because of the high level of debt that we currently have. Even with all these policies, as these policies start to take effect, there's a few big problems that are not going to go away. They'll have to be dealt with, and it's going to take some time. Even with all the right decisions, it's still going to take some time. So that's why I say we're not out of the woods yet. The biggest issue is the debt. Now, as I stated earlier, the high levels of debt require the federal government to sell bonds at record levels, which will continue to push bond returns, bond interest rates, upward until the federal government starts to pay down some of that debt and get it under control. Now, this creates an opportunity for you and I. As I stated earlier, the Federal Reserve dropped interest rates twice this year, is predicted to do so again in December, will likely continue that in the spring. Bond interest rates are likely to continue to be strong. Insurance companies buy these bonds, and that's part of their returns. Dividends are profits of the company. So dividends are predicted to increase for the next several years, while at the same time, we likely have a decreasing interest rate environment or borrowing cost. One of the key benefits of your personal bank is the ability to grow your money, access it, and still earn interest on the money even after you use it for other purposes, to create positive cash flow with your money or positive arbitrage. Things are shaping up very favorably that in the next year or two, we could be looking at very strong positive arbitrage situation as dividend rates continue to increase while borrowing costs continue to decrease. Let me use a simple example. We fully expect dividends to be moving. They are at 6% now plus and be moving into the 7% range in the next few years. Borrowing costs right now are right at the 6% range and are expected to be dropping down to the 5% or maybe even 4% range. If you're earning 7% and it costs you 5% to borrow, access the funds, what's your money doing? You're still picking up 2% positive arbitrage on your money. And here's the kicker. You use the money elsewhere. What did you do with it? Did you pay off a bill? Did you purchase an item? Did you invest it in another asset? Look, we all spend money. We all pay off things. We all purchase items. And most of us invest in things. Do you want to pick up the extra 1, 2, 3% interest annually, positive arbitrage, each and nearly every year the rest of your life or not? Banks make positive arbitrage or positive cash flow on our deposits. It's called the float. You can too with your money. So not only can you put the money in your personal bank, earn insured, guaranteed, tax-free, and highly liquid, but you have the potential of positive arbitrage or earning interest on that money even after you spend it or use it for other assets. This means you continue to earn money even after you spend it. And there's no other opportunity I know of for the average American to be able to do that. So this would actually increase the rate of return on your investments, for example, or reduce your cost of borrowing if you were going to borrow to purchase something. Either way, it puts more money in your pocket than you would have had otherwise without using this tool. That's the power of your personal bank. And because of interest rates, the bond market, the Federal Reserve, and everything that's going on, the likely effects of the Trump policies, we are looking at a very strong positive arbitrage scenario for the foreseeable future, likely for the next 3 to 5 years, if not longer. And historically, 24 of the last 28 years, we had positive arbitrage and the average was 2 to 3%. We're looking at going into that scenario here again in the very near future. We couldn't be more excited, and there couldn't be a better time to look into a high cash value insurance policy. To earn dividends, insured, guaranteed, tax-free, highly liquid, and have the potential of positive arbitrage because of the lowering borrowing costs. If you want more information on this, or this interests you in any way, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. Again, this is the best time in 42 years, folks, to look at this. Stay tuned in the last segment, because I'm going to have some final thoughts that I think you're not going to want to miss. Concerned about market risk? I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. Diversification is one of the best ways to offset risk. Your Personal Bank is not affected by the stock or real estate markets. It is an uncorrelated asset that provides true diversification. For more info, tune in to the Your Personal Bank Show or contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. You can reach me at yourpersonalbank.com. Yes, you'll reach me at yourpersonalbank.com. As I stated earlier, recently the Federal Reserve reduced interest rates another quarter point. They're projected to do so again in December and likely will continue to reduce interest rates in the foreseeable future. Now, generally, you would think that would be good for the stock market. Typically, it is. Many of the economic policies, as I stated, that the Trump administration plans to implement will likely reduce inflation, some of it quite quickly. That'll also typically is considered good for the stock market. The challenge we have is a couple of things. The level of debt, Social Security, Medicare, but also the other challenge is the stock market has, as many experts point out, likely already priced in much of the upside of the economy that's expected or due to increased economic activity. One example of this is Bank of America's sell-side indicator, as they call it, the SSI. It's an indicator that basically measures bullishness and bearishness for stocks. They've long touted it, the SSI, as a reliable contrarian indicator because an overly bullish sentiment often causes some investors to take an opposite view. The problem is the SSI indicator is at the high end or near extreme bullishness, which means it's bearish for stocks. In other words, it's already gone up so much so far, so fast. If you were in it, great. But if you're trying to get in now, you might have missed it for the most part for a while. The other one that's a predictive tool, and this is from Motley Fool, is something called M2. It's the money supply. So there's an M1 and an N2, M2. M1 factors in all, it's a measurement the Federal Reserve uses to measure all cash and coins in circulation, traveler's checks and demand deposits and checking accounts. This is money that's basically accessible immediately. M2 takes into account everything with M1, immediate things, then adds in savings accounts, money markets, and CDs under $100,000. They consider this money that can be accessed, but it requires a little more time and effort to get to before it can be spent. And M2 is the better measure of money in circulation. There's been very few times over the last 90 years that M2 has decreased. And one of those notable decreases has just happened recently. You see, the Federal Reserve has been doing something for the last year or two called quantitative tightening. Many of you remember a while back they were doing quantitative easing, which means they were buying stocks and bonds and such like that to increase money in supply when the economy was bad, like in 2020 with the shutdowns. They bought a lot of stocks and mortgage-backed securities to keep the economy moving, grease the skids, if you will. And their total assets approached about $9 trillion. Over the last couple of years, they've been selling that off gradually, which means they've been reducing the amount of money in circulation. Now, again, there's only been four times in the last 90 years that there's been a decrease in the M2 money supply. And every single time that happened, we've had a severe recession. It remains to be seen this time whether that will happen. It's certainly a risk. If you're in an asset that has market risk, you should be concerned about. And this is one of the reasons why Warren Buffett continues to sell stocks at a record pace, the highest level of selling in his career. As I stated earlier, the debt is a problem that is going to have to be dealt with. In fact, just in one day recently, the U.S. Treasury added over $100 billion in debt in just one day. This is why Elon Musk's Department of Government Accountability is so necessary, because the debt is now approaching $36 trillion. These are some of the reasons why the bond market, as Barron states, signals higher rates and stocks won't like the message. Again, the stock market and bond markets are going strong. They typically go opposite to each other. They both can't be right. One's going to be right and one's going to be wrong. See, what's going on is normally you would expect, as the Federal Reserve has been reducing interest rates, which they've been doing the last couple of months, typically bond interest rates go down too, except we're seeing the opposite happening. In fact, bond yields, the interest paid on bonds, has been increasing since the Federal Reserve dropped interest rates back in September, I believe, a half a point. And the concern that they have, I've shared this on this show so many times, has to do with the level of debt. Even if Elon Musk reins in spending and gets things under control, which I sincerely hope he does, there's still $36 trillion of debt out there. In other words, if he stops the bleeding, that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. We don't need to be adding $1.85 trillion of new debt per year. That's what we did last year as a country. But let's say he stops the bleeding. There's still $36 trillion of debt out there. Here's the challenge. Federal government so far to this point has not done anything about paying down that debt. In fact, they just keep rolling it over. And of course, all the debt is financed by bonds. And what bonds are, treasury bonds, are a debt instrument. It's a promise to pay by the U.S. government to whoever buys the bond. It works much like a CD. If the government sells a two-year bond and they promise to pay you 4%, for example, that means you buy, as a bond buyer, you get paid 4% interest for the two-year period. They sell bonds at different time frames, 2 years, 10 years, 20, 30 years, or shorter time frames. My point is this. Every month, bonds that were sold previously mature. So then the government has to resell the bond to someone else at whatever the current interest rate is. Again, normally, under normal economic situations with normal levels of debt, a lower interest rate from the Federal Reserve typically means lower bond interest rates. The problem is tied up in something called supply and demand. The federal government has a record level of debt. This record level of debt creates record supply of bond selling. In other words, they're selling a whole bunch of bonds out there. The bond buyers know this. It's all public record, public knowledge. With record amount of supply, the bond buyers are in the driver's seat. They're demanding higher interest rates to buy up all these bonds. The government has to sweeten the pot by increasing interest rates, and that's why we're seeing higher bond rate interest rates. Projections are this will continue for the foreseeable future until the federal government finally starts to not only spend more, which hopefully will start happening soon with Elon Musk, but then also starts to pay down all this excess debt. Even if Elon gets everything under control and does a great job, it's not like this debt's going to go away overnight. It's going to take time to pay down. What does this mean for you and I? Well, it's quite simple. Bond interest rates are going to stay strong for the next several years. Most predictions are at least 3 to 5 years, if not a decade or longer. Insurance companies buy these bonds and also add their returns through their other revenue streams to pay dividends. Dividends have increased. Nearly every company has already announced increased for dividends for 2025. One of my top companies not only did that, but they also retroactively paid the higher dividend rate on all policy owners effective September 1st. We didn't expect that, but that gives you an idea of how much more profitable the bonds are that these companies are buying than they were even a couple of years ago. And that is projected to increase for the next number of years. As I stated in the first couple of segments, I'm very bullish and I'm very excited about the future of the direction of this country, economically and otherwise. But we're not out of the woods yet. And some of these problems, like the federal debt, are going to take some time to resolve. Stocks are at historical highs. That in itself involves risk. I'm not saying don't invest in the stock market at all, but understand high valuations involved elevated risk. Bonds are paying strong dividends, insured, guaranteed, tax-free, and highly liquid. You can make some money on these bonds or the dividends on these through the insurance companies, which is paying higher than bond rates, be highly liquid with your money. So if opportunities like a stock market correction does occur, you can take advantage of that. You see, frankly, I would be far more bullish about the stock market if we had a correction. It's just that simple. Why not have at least a portion of your portfolio guaranteed, insured, tax-free, highly liquid, increasing dividends? And if something does happen with a correction or a recession that many are still predicting, in other words, it easily could get worse before it gets better. We're not out of the woods yet. There's still some big economic problems out there. I'm hopeful they'll get resolved. I'm encouraged that they'll likely get resolved, but again, it will take some time. Why not make some money safely, guaranteed, insured, tax-free? Have it available so that when those opportunities present yourself, you can then pull the trigger and take advantage of those opportunities rather than potentially riding the roller coaster down if we do get some kind of correction. If you want more information on this, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. God bless America, and as long as it's on our money, in God we trust. When people contact me, they often ask, what exactly do you do? And yes, if you contact me, I, Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show, will respond, not an assistant. I help people increase their returns, reduce taxes, increase positive cash flow, and reduce market risk. I accomplish your goals using various financial tools, including your personal bank. If you have questions or would like to discuss your situation, contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com.
Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. This show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information. The presenter and guests of this program do not engage in legal, accounting, or tax advice.
Would you like to sponsor the Your Personal Bank Show hosted by Ference Toth? We are looking for like-minded partners who want to join our rapidly growing radio show. I frequently state, economic freedom is freedom. Thomas Jefferson wrote, a well-informed electorate is a prerequisite to democracy. Contact me at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com to help increase financial literacy and protect our freedoms.
A gentle breeze blows across your face as you take a refreshing sip of water, appreciating the stillness of another morning fishing on the lake. The distant gurgle of a stream reminds you of days spent playing in the creek, the cool, clear water rushing between your toes. You love this time with nature, the feeling of putting everything on hold to connect with the world around you. Now, imagine it's all gone. No fish, no lake, no water. One of life's most vital resources, irreplaceably depleted. Time is running out to protect fresh water, and without our love, it can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our fresh water. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
This place has a pulse. You hear it in the canopy, feel it in the ground. Life, fully illuminated, engulfs you. From the birds singing in the treetops above to the tiniest insects in the soil below, you take a deep, cleansing breath, filling your lungs with the essence of the forest. Now, imagine it's all gone. Healthy, life-giving forests reduced to nothing. No singing birds, no lush canopy, and water and food in short supply around the world. Time is running out to protect our forests, and without our love, they can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our forests. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love